Welcome to Voices from the Dales, published by the Dales Countryside Museum in Hawes, with me, Andrew Fagg. Series 3, Swaledale Farmer, is supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund through the T Swale Naturally Connected programme. This is Episode 4, Side by Side. Yes, we're rolling now. Come about 20 metres across the beck from the house into the cattle shed. And here is Ray Ridley in his waterproof, specks of rain on his spectacles. And what can we see, Ray?
Well, we've come into the barn where the White Park cattle are. I wasn't keen on going back into cattle, but I've really grown very fond of these. They're the most beautiful animals.
They're all white, but they've got this black nose, black ears and black round the eyes. They must really stand out on the pasture.
Oh, yes. The strange thing is, we've got a white bull and a white mother, and she's thrown a black calf. But you can still register these black calves as pedigree White Parks.
And just as you speak, the rain comes in and begins to hit these metal sheets on the barn here.
We've picked a good day.
We've picked a good day to be inside the shed with these cattle.
Yeah.
Can we take a step back and can you give a sense of your farming career?
Well, my mother was born here in 1919. My father came as a shepherd and married the daughter. So that's how the family started at Kexford. So we've been here a few years now.
And what sort of farming enterprise has it been here, and how has it become what it is now?
It's always been sheep with a few cattle. Those days they would have cattle for the house cow, for their own milk. But they did used to sell cheese from Kexwith. I mean, when there was all these rabbits years ago, I mean, we're nearly getting back to that stage again now. They used to go to Barnard Castle with 100 rabbits, and also Saturdays they'd go to Richmond with another 100 rabbits. And that used to pay for the groceries for the house. You know, so there wasn't a lot of layout. It was very cheap. They'd come back with a great big bag of flour and also yeast, and my mum would be making all sorts of things. But it was quite cheap living.
When you were growing up and in your early days on the farm, what stock did you have, and can you compare that with now?
The sheep numbers have dropped right down to what we have a right for, because we've gone into environmental schemes where they want the sheep numbers down off the moor, and so the sheep numbers are right down to what we could have, but we're getting compensation for that.
How many?
We're down to 250 breeding ewes, and there's 100 replacement lambs coming through, some gimmer hogs.
And when you were a lad, what was it then?
There'd be 600, and then the replacements.
Did you always want to be a farmer?
Well, my older brother was here. He was farming, but unfortunately he was killed in a car accident, and I got a chance, as it were, to come back and help father, and I just carried on from there, really.
Why? What was the attraction?
The hardship. No, it's a family farm, and you know, there's a lot of work goes into improving your family farm, and it's a pride of, you know, that's the family farm. It's just lovely to keep it going. And Richard's taking an interest in it now, and that'll be going on through another generation.
What's at the heart of that pride? I'm just wondering, is it the Ridley name, the family history that you refer to? Is it the place? Is it the quality of the stock?
It's just the place, it's just the love for the place. Improving the stock, yes, that all comes into it, and improving the land and the walls, and just keeping, just looking after the place for the next generation.
Take me into your working life. What would be a typical day, if there is such a thing?
Well, I mean, farming, you get such a variety. It depends what time of year it is. At the moment, I'll go up the fell on a morning to give some concentrate to the ewes, just to give them a bit extra protein before lambing. And then this time of year, you can get on with all sorts of maintenance jobs, providing it isn't a foot of snow. You know, those winters where we've had a lot of snow, it just stops you doing anything. You can go and paint the house. There's a lot of maintenance jobs which just have to wait till the curlews come back, which is just the most amazing sound when you've had a long, awful, hard winter and you hear that first curlew. It's just absolute magic. And, yeah.
We're right at the end of January as we speak. They can only be a few weeks away, can't they?
Yes, they'll not be that far. I mean, we've been getting the swallows coming third of April last year, which is exceedingly early for them. You know, I have a picture on my phone with a date on. But, you know, they seem to get earlier each year. End of January here, there was a flock of geese going north the other day. I thought they must have lost the compass or something. They'll be coming back shortly.
It sounds as though wildlife is very important to you.
Yes. These fields up on the top that we've put scrapes in for the lapwings.
A scrape?
It's a scrape, it's just to hold some water, if it's a drought, so the little birds can go, the lapwing chicks, they can go and get a drink in a drought. So, just a shallow scrape that you've dug with the digger. It'll only be 2 foot deep and shallow sides, and it's going to hold some water. But I also plumbed in a water supply from the spring up the hillside. So we've got the running water into these scrapes. So the driest times, there's always water in those scrapes. And I've got a lovely picture of a little lapwing chick drinking from the scrapes. So it's really working. I always used to love, as a child, going up there and just watching and listening to the peewits doing the display calls, and those days you could we used to have a bird egg collection, but after that was, you know, it was banned. You weren't allowed to take birds' eggs anymore, but I still have the old birds' egg collection that I had when I was a child. Yes.
And what sort of eggs are they? Are they mainly the lapwing that you mentioned?
Lapwing, snipe, curlew. I had quite a collection. Local blackbirds, thrushes, skylarks, jackdaws. I'd have about 30 different eggs off different things. I did manage to find a cuckoo's egg. Yeah, it was just... It was just a size among the other eggs that you could distinguish it. But,
you know, it sounds as though this is a place of abundance.
There's a lot of wildlife in this. It's quite a narrow little valley here, and as a child, I used to spend a lot of time just going around bird nesting to see what you could find today. And it was fascinating to spend all the school holidays.
In public discourse, it's often wildlife or farming. Is that a useful dichotomy, or here, is it? Do the two just mould into one?
Just mould into one. We've done these things for to help provide habitat for the wading birds, but it's not affecting the sheep management at all. You know, we can still use that field for lambing. I mean, if you've ever watched a lapwing chase a sheep back from the nest, they can certainly move them. You know, you're getting too close to me, Mrs. Sheep. Off you go, and shift them. Which you wouldn't think that little bird could do that, but by Jove, they do. I suppose I'd somebody pecking my nose and flapping the wings, I'd be moving.
You've mentioned the scrapes. Were they put in through the T-Swale project?
They were, yes. Yeah.
Mm. On a day that wasn't as windy, we'd go and have a look, but I think you've described them very well. What are the other measures that have been put in around the farm to help wildlife and create habitats?
There was we have an owl box up on the end of the barn, and we've done some woodland pasture. You know, we'll get some oak trees and different trees up the valley. But it's mostly the scrapes for the wading birds. I mean, the snipe, curlew and lapwings all use that. It's amazing. Some of the curlews will nest up on the moorland, but they like to bring their chicks in onto the meadow fields. You know, once that grass gets, there'll be a lot of fly life in among the grass flower heads. But they do like to bring the chicks in onto the meadow fields.
And does that inform your decision about when to cut the meadows or not?
When you're cutting these meadows, we do it sympathetically, so you're driving anything out of the grass, out of the long grass. You work it to one side and then give them a chance to get out.
And this will be in July or August then? Whereas, you know, other meadows, you wouldn't need to go very many miles from here, will begin to be cut in April.
Yeah. No, we don't clear the fields till the middle of May, so it's July and most likely just into August by the time we get the hay gathered up.
And just to make sure that the message is understood, that you're saying that the wildlife work that you've done on the farm has not affected the way you're able to farm in the sense of stock numbers or any inconvenience to the farming?
It's been no convenience at all. They're working really well together. You know, they've always been there. The sheep and the lapwings, curlews, they've all run side by side. And, you know, if the sheep are moving, the lapwings are looking to see what's moving the sheep. I'm sure they'll look out for each other. They'll certainly take notice if the sheep start running, there must be a dog about or something. But there's no clash of interests.
Well, if we could just spend a few minutes, if we could sort of walk over to one of the cattle.
There's one of the friendly ones. They'll come to this door and say hello. Hi there, come on. It's the one at the back. Oh, she's coming, look.
So we're just on the other side of a wall to long-horned cattle. Oh, yes, she's come right to you. And you're just scratching between the eyes there and between the horns.
Oh, she's a real pest. She's lovely. I think she'd probably be a bit too tame. When she gets out in the field and she comes charging up to you, I think it'd be could be quite frightening.
She's just come over for a stroke. Yeah. You've only called her once. Why is she so friendly to you?
Well, we had a young lady. We were away on holiday one winter. We had a young lady looking after the cattle. And I think she spent all day stroking it. And got it so friendly as a calf that it's just carried on being a real pet.
And with that close to this friendly cow, that we can hear her munching the silage.
Yes. Oh, she's a real pet.
Thank you to Ray and Sue Ridley. In the next episode, we're over the hill and into Teesdale with Swaledale sheep breeder Michael Watson. Thank you for listening.